This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade finished higher across the board Wednesday. Corn for September finished 2.5 cents higher to 406.5. December corn was 1.5 cents higher to 414. And March corn was 1.75 cents higher to 423.75. August beans finished 1 cent higher to 848.75. September beans were 1 cent higher as well to 854. And November beans finished 1 cent higher as well to 866.75. Chicago wheat for September was 4.25 cents higher to 488.25. December wheat finished 3.5 cents higher to 491.25. And March wheat was 4 cents higher to $5 even. Soybean meal for August finished $2.10 lower to $2.93. September bean meal was $2.30 lower to $2.95. And October bean meal finished $2.50 lower to $2.96.70. Finally, soybean oil for August was 48 cents higher to $27.96. September bean oil finished 45 cents higher to $28.01. And October bean oil finished 44 cents higher to $28.12. And to recap Wednesday's grain futures, corn was 1.75 to 2.5 cents higher. Beans were 1 cent higher. Wheat was 3.5 to 4.25 cents higher. Bean meal was 2.10 to 2.50 lower. And soybean oil was 44 to 48 cents higher. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield with Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon as the grain trade waits for Monday's USDA crop progress and supply and demand reports for fresh fundamental news. In northern western Illinois country, grain yields quoted chow corn bids 3 cents higher, 369 to 407. Soybean bids were steady to 1 cent lower at 780 to 806. In central Illinois country, grain yields quoted chow corn bids 3 to 4 higher, 392 to 418. Soybean bids were 1 to 3 lower at $8 to 848. In the southern part of the state, chow corn bids were up 3 cents at 351 to 439. Soybean bids were 1 to 3 higher at 809 to 839. And wheat bids were mostly 4 cents higher at 454 to 488. Illinois soybean processor case soybean bids were mixed at 823 to 867. Basis was mixed at 44 under the option the November. High pro soybean meal on the truck basis offered at $287 to $300 a ton, down $230 a ton. Whip basis unchanged at 8 under to 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor case corn bids were 1 to 3 cents higher at 420 to 435. With basis steady to down 2 at 13 over to 28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted a producer corn bids 3 to 13 cents higher at 372 to 417. With basis then changed to up 10 at 35 under to 10 over the September. Soybeans ended mixed at 817 to 819. With basis mixed at 50 under to 48 under the November. New crop wheat prices were mixed at 438 to 449. With basis steady to down 7. At 50 under to 39 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading tamales place their producer corn bids 4 to 6 cents higher at 397 to 398. Their soybean prices were steady to 2 cents higher with quotations at 837 to 838. So if we close mixed at 483 to 493, Milo ended the day up 3 cents at 451 to 452. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 364 to 404, soybeans at $8 to 837. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 385 to 407, soybeans at 809 to 851. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 361 to 426, soybeans at 789. To 835. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Wednesday's livestock futures finished mixed but mostly higher on the Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle were 47 cents higher to 107.60. October live cattle finished 22 cents higher to 106.45. And December live cattle were 27 cents higher to 111.17. August feeder cattle were 42 cents lower to 139.55. September feeders finished 7 cents off the mark to 139.37. And October feeders were 25 cents higher to 138.90. Finally, August lean hogs were 60 cents higher to 77.72. October lean hogs gained $2.25 to $66.85, and December lean hogs were $2.40 higher to $63.42. To recap your livestock futures from Wednesday, live cattle were 27 to 47 cents higher, feeders were 42 cents lower to 25 cents higher, and lean hogs were 60 to $2.40 higher. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture once more on this Thursday morning for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass is $1.51 lower. In a range of $64 to $78 with a weighted average carcass price of $73.61. In the Illinois Direct Sow Ports, dollar sow price were firm with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 30 to 36, 4 to 5 weighted 32 to 40, 5 to 6 weighted 34 to 44, and over 600 pounds 35 to $46. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were $1 to $2 lower, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $46 to $52. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $22,120. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 111 to 116, and on a dress basis at 183 to 185. Choice heifers on a dress basis traded at 183. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 286 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass is $88.40, which is 33 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $216.49, which is 71 cents higher, while select carcasses were $192.71, which is 6 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 118,000, compared to 120,000 last week and 119,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 472,000, compared to 470,000 last week and 464,000 one year ago. A recap of the Fairview Sale Barn Auction for yesterday, August 6th, had total receipts of 329 compared to last week's slaughter steers and heifers were steady. Slaughter cows sold mixed and slaughter bulls were steady. Choice steers from 113.50 to 119.25. Holstein steers from $85 to $92. Choice heifers from 115.75 to 118.50. Breaker cows average dressing at $65 to $75.50. Boner cows average dressing at $57 to $67.50, and lean cows average dressing at $50 to $60.50, and bulls from $77 to $89. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in Ag News for part two of your Thursday morning Ag Show, President Trump and agriculture leaders on and off of Capitol Hill are deflecting blame on the administration for the U.S.-China trade war and its severe impact on agriculture. GOP Senate ally Chuck Grassley defended the president's tariffs against China, offset some by the billions of dollars in market facilitation payments, when past presidents offered no help.
Nixon freezes the price of beef just for a short period of time, but it ruined the beef industry in the United States, and Iowa was number one, and we've never been number one since 1972. Ford didn't do anything to help the farmers when he put a ban on export of soybeans because the price was getting so high. When the Russians invaded Afghanistan, Carter put a ban on exports to Russia and didn't help the farmers.
However, Grassley says Trump, who tweeted he would be willing to give farmers more trade aid again next year if needed, says the president's keeping his word to help producers.
They also know that China's been cheating not only farmers, but American manufacturer, American services. And I get a sense that farmers are sticking with the president.
That's a view echoed by American Farm Bureau's Dale Moore in a Fox News interview.
In terms of talking to our members, they have faith in the president. They appreciate the actions that he's taken to support them through this fight. But it's something that we're really concerned about carrying forward and trying to get this nailed down.
The president had this to say before flying out to Dayton, Ohio and El Paso, Texas to meet with the two communities in mourning.
As to whether or not a deal will be made, I will tell you this. China would like to make a deal very badly.
Ag leaders say Trump could still hold back on his latest tariff threat if there's some movement before a still-set September meeting, though China has signaled it's ready for a long fight and may be willing to wait to see if Trump is reelected. Tariffs are now costing the U.S. up to $6 billion a month, according to Tariffs Hurt the Heartland. The trade group says American businesses and consumers paid $6 billion in tariffs in June, one of the highest tariffed months in U.S. history. The June figure is up $2.5 billion, or 74%, from the same month in 2018. The data, compiled from the U.S. Census Bureau, is the first look at the impact of the escalation of tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods from 10 to 25% back in May. The data comes days after President Trump announced yet another round of tariffs on an additional $300 billion in goods, which are set to take effect September 1. China responded by only stopping purchases of U.S. ag products. Tariffs Hurt the Heartland spokesman Jonathan Gold says the tariffs are costing American jobs, raising prices, hurting farmers, and derailing the U.S. economic growth. In total, American taxpayers have paid over $27 billion in extra import tariffs since the trade war began. U.S. pork and beef exports, however, were above year-ago levels in both volume and value in June. That's according to the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Led by a rebound in Mexico and China, pork export value was the highest in 14 months. June pork exports posted double-digit gains in both volume and value, reaching 212,800 metric tons, valued at $569.2 million. For the first half of 2019, pork exports remained 2% below last year in volume and were down 6% in value to $3.1 billion. In May, the 20% retaliatory duty on most U.S. pork exports to Mexico was removed as the U.S., Mexico, Canada reached an agreement on steel and aluminum tariffs. USMEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says the tariff removal was a tremendous relief, sparking further U.S. pork exports to Mexico. Meanwhile, beef exports were up 3% year-over-year in June to 118,600 metric tons. Beef export value at $724.8 million increased just 1% from last year. Moving on now into national crop news. The 2019 growing season may not be a great one, but there have been far worse years. Gary Crawford has the full report with meteorologist Brad Rippey.
This is in the realm of if you think things are bad now, just remember they could be and have been worse. We're talking about the corn crop, and yes, only 57% of the nation's corn rated this week in good to excellent condition compared to last year's 71%. But just remember,
we're not even close to the levels that we saw for low conditions in 2012.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, we had him look up what the corn crop looked like this first week of August during the 2012 drought, and at that time,
we were sitting at just 23% of the U.S. crop rated good to excellent, and it fell a little bit lower as we headed through the rest of August.
And 23% was the national average, in some states far worse.
You look at Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, less than 10% of the crop rated in good to excellent condition in early August.
So yes, compared to that disaster, this slow developing corn crop, even with late planting in wet soils, doesn't seem quite so bad this year.
But certainly not one of our better years.
It's all relative, I guess. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
And moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News, the state fair might officially start today with a ribbon cutting and the Twilight Parade, but for 4-H kids and livestock families, the fair is already underway. That's why the Illinois Pork Producers Association has their Swiantist program. Jenny Jackson with the IPPA says it's an opportunity for kids with show pigs at the fair to understand the importance of keeping healthy pigs and biosecurity on the farm.
Ohio State University travels the country putting on this program, and we're very fortunate that we paired with them this year. And they are coming, bringing all the materials, all the supplies. It'll be a hands-on workshop. We have four different stations. where they can, one is make slime. It's compared to the mucus of an animal. One is pH testing of water, and it's called mucus swap, where they figure out how easily pigs can get sick.
The event starts tonight at 4 at the Swine Building on the Illinois State Fairgrounds. Kids also get a pizza dinner and biosecurity bucket to go back to the farm with. In other state ag news, a Central Illinois congressman has responded to recent criticism of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis of Taylorville serves on the House Ag Committee.
Well, I've been probably one of the most critical members of Congress against NAS. My subcommittee that I used to chair had jurisdiction over NAS, the National Agricultural Statistical Service. They've come up with some doozies over the years. The good news is they're going to reassess the initial assessments that they put out there, and that's a good thing. And most folks in the bureaucracy in Washington don't redo what are mistakes. They just kind of keep making them over and over again. I'm hoping that some of the new reports that will come out, new surveys that will come out, will be more realistic. But in the end also, once they make this reassessment, we've got to hold them accountable. And just like a couple of years ago, many of my producers were calling me and texting me about terrible projections that NAS was putting out. Well, in the end, NAS was actually right about their projections at the end of the crop year, and in many cases, they underestimated. So at this point, once we do the reassessment, let's give them a chance to figure out if they were correct, and I'll be the first one to criticize them if they're not.
The next USDA NAS acreage report is due out on Monday, August 12th. The last one was released in late June. In other state news from the Department of Agriculture, 7 counties in Illinois have been authorized for emergency haying and grazing use of eligible CRP acreage outside of the primary nesting season. Emergency haying is permitted now through August 31st, and emergency grazing is permitted now through September 30th. Haying is restricted to no more than half of eligible CRP contracted acreage, and grazing use shall leave 25% of each field or contiguous fields ungrazed, or graze 100% of a field, but at no more than a 75% stocking rate. Producers can use the eligible CRP acreage under the emergency grazing provisions for their own livestock, or may grant another producer use of the eligible CRP acreage. The CRP acreage is limited to acres located within an approved county. There will be no CRP annual rental payment reduction for 2019 emergency haying and grazing authorizations. Of those counties in Illinois, one is in our local listening area, and that's Morgan County in the Jacksonville area. The other 6 counties are in northwestern Illinois and include Bureau, Fulton, Henry, Mercer, Rock Island, and Whiteside counties. In state fair news, tomorrow will be the 20th annual Master Showmanship Contest at the state fair, hosted by the Illinois Farm Bureau and the RFD Radio Network. The event will be held in the Junior Livestock Barn starting at 7:30 or half an hour following the conclusion of the Beef Cattle Show. 4-H youth who have won Master Showmanship at their local county fair will have the opportunity to compete in the Master Showmanship Contest. The contestants will show beef, swine, and sheep, competing to be named the state Master Showman. Their placings will be determined by their ability to handle the livestock and answer questions posed by the judges about each species. 2019 is the 20th year of this contest, which was started by the Illinois Farm Broadcasters, and the Master Showmanship Contest was created to recognize the hardworking and successful youth, and it provides an occasion for 4-H youth to compete at the state level. Moving on now into local ag news, the 135th annual Old Settlers Celebration rolls on today in downtown Hillsboro, with the conclusion of Old Settlers Days with the big parade this evening at 6. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to speak with Tom Anderson, president of the Central Illinois Livestock Producers, and we spoke about how many years the livestock producers have been cooking ribeyes at Old Settlers. Another Old Settlers, Tom, so that means the beef stand is here yet again.
We're here maybe for as many as the 40th time. We've been here a lot of years. This is our main money maker for our organization, and we We actually cook about 2,500 ribeye sandwiches and sell them at Old Settlers. We also have hamburgers available, and a very busy day and a half. We've been here today, and we've sold about 300 ribeyes. And, of course, with the parade tomorrow will be the big day. And we hope to market all 2,500 ribeyes.
And, of course, a lot of the proceeds go towards education. We were speaking about you have a few meetings throughout the year that, and it's not just maybe education about beef producers, but just farming and livestock and crops in general.
Yes, we have some educational speakers at most of the meetings that we have. We probably have about a half a dozen meetings a year. We have a group of about 30 to 40 farmers from the three county area. We service a little bit of Macoupin, Montgomery, and some into Christian County. We also do some quite a few activities with the 4-H shows. We do some activities. We give some scholarships to members. We have this year we had two scholarship recipients, Cody Nodal and Grace Anderson, and I think we use our money wisely, mostly for the betterment of our membership.
And then going through membership, of course, as we go through the years, just livestock producers in general seem to dwindle year to year. If anybody's out there that's not a part of the association and would like to get involved, how could they do so, Tom?
Well, they could get a hold of me. My phone number is pretty well available. I have a home phone, and then I have a cell phone, 556-1051. I'd be glad to talk to any producer that would have an interest, and we'll certainly like to have them as part of our group. Of course, our specialty is the beef cattle business, that's most of our members are also active at the Illinois Beef Association level. So there is no dues to be part of this. If you pay your Illinois Beef Association membership, you're automatically eligible to be part of this group. And we have a lovely group of guys to be around, and it's usually a couple's thing. If you look around at our workforce, our women are extremely important at this Old Settler stand. They're the ones that are actually making the sales. The guys are back here cooking. So it takes about 40 couples, so there's about 80 people involved for the 2 days. And if it wasn't for the donated labor, we couldn't show a profit.
And again, that was Tom Anderson, president of the Central Illinois Livestock Producers. And don't forget to stop by their stand in downtown Hillsboro for this last day of Old Settlers for one of their delicious ribeyes. In other news about Old Settlers, parking for horses for tonight's parade will be in the grass lot between the Hillsboro Junior High and the high school at the corner of Chase and Summer Streets. Classes that are being judged in the horse division of this year's parade will be best of show, best costume, and most unique coat or markings. Any questions you may have about this year's horse division of the Old Settlers Parade can be directed to Farm Bureau Manager Katie Wilson at 532-6171. And finally, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be having their meeting this evening at 5:30. They'll be meeting at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro to load popcorn and to be lining up for the parade tonight. Any business for the August meeting will be discussed during the parade lineup. And remember, if you have any ag news for the morning or afternoon farm shows here on WSMI, you can email it to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Thursday morning, August 8th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.